It's our anime show, anime show. It's our anime show. I'm a green queen.
And I'm Binge Monster.
Hell yeah. Wow. Well, it's been a minute. Okay, so I guess it hasn't been a minute. But anyway, I'm really excited about this episode. I'm really excited about this episode, T, because we are going to talk about Solo Leveling. Solo Leveling has been on Binge Monster and I's radar for quite a bit. We both have read into the manhwa, so we know a little bit of the story, and I truly, truly love it. Binge Monster, don't mean to speak for you, but I'm pretty sure you love it as well, or like it.
I do. Yeah. All of it. Completed.
Oh, you read the whole thing! Oh, right, it's finished! I read the whole thing. Because, yeah, I didn't finish it. I think I got like 5 volumes in, and then I was having trouble getting the books back to the library, and I was like, I need to stop this for a minute.
Oh. That's a cool tip, though. I've never thought about getting them from the library.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially when we're talking New York Public Library, they have everything, and they can get it sent to whatever library you're going to for free, yeah. Essentially. And then you just, and even what I found out later was that there are no late charges. So in the app, it'll scare you and say, hey, you owe, you know, X amount of dollars because you haven't, you know, made the mile walk to the library yet. And then I got there and I was like, I'm so sorry. These are late. How much do I owe? Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, oh, we don't really do that. I was like, okay. That works for me. But I was so terrified that I was like, I'm just still going to give this a minute. I'm going to wait. I can't take things from the library for a little bit. But anyway, so Solo Leveling, a manhwa, and manhwa in and of itself, I kind of wanted to just touch base on what that is. So manhwa is like, yeah. And fill in the blanks for me, Binge Monster, as you wish. But manhwa is essentially Korea's version of manga. It's like cartoon or manga or like comic books, stories written and produced by Korean people and Korean companies. As far as the history of manhwa, this kind of led us down a little bit of a rabbit hole, but the term manhwa was coined in about like the 1920s during the Japanese occupation in Korea, when obviously there was great influence and many more things, which are probably for another historical episode and maybe not this one. But one of the things to kind of come out of that time was this term of manhwa. I don't know. Do you have anything to add about this rabbit hole that we actually started going down?
Oh, it really is a rabbit hole. You know, obviously the occupation in Korea in the 20s and 30s, might have been the 30s, I'm not too sure, but you know, around World War II was a really controversial and difficult time for folks in Korea. I think one of the main things that we learned is that when during the occupation, the Japanese looked to bring a part of their culture with them, they imported manga, and eventually manhwa was used for a number of years to sustain and reflect propagandistic ideologies of the Japanese that were occupying the country, and became really, really popular. And then, you know, it eventually got banned. There's a really great comic book review, CBR.com article about this, of the differences between manga, manhwa, and manhwa, that we were actually reading in anticipation of this episode. I think, to your point, we'll probably dive into this topic on another episode. But yeah, it's interesting how this kind of category of media became what it is today, considering its origins. It's wildly popular. We were just talking about some of the other titles, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tower of God. The one that just ended its first core last season, which is A Returner's Magic Should Be Special, which I really enjoy and have read a lot of. Beginning Before the End, which is also really good. And now Solo Leveling.
Ah, oh, Solo Leveling. It's so good. Yeah. And we started to, because this was something I wanted to look into. So we were talking about manga, and then we were reading that traditionally manhwa in and of itself is printed in black and white. And I was kind of like, wait a minute, because I don't really remember any of the, because I was obviously renting the volumes. I wasn't reading it online. But even when you read it online on like the mm-hmm. Webtoons app, it's all fully colored in, which I think is, at least from what I have read, I think it's unique to manhwa. Like, I don't read a lot of manga that's not in black and white, even if it's like on the shonen app. It's just like not put out that way.
So I
was saying, like, I don't know if that's like traditionally how it is, or just like, because Solo Leveling and another one that I actually have with me, the beginning after the end, they're both in color. And so I was like, is this like a, they're produced by Yen Press. So I was like, is this a Yen Press thing? Is this a manhwa thing? I don't know. And then we started going down a rabbit hole of who's publishing these works and who's the parent company to who. And again, another episode, another time. But I can't recommend reading manhwa enough. There's a lot of different, especially also if you're a romance fan, I feel like manhwa definitely got it going on for the romance, especially if you like if you like BL, if you love boy love anime, and boy love stories, there's definitely a lot of that in manhwa.
I think if you like any romance, like the Koreans have that on lock. A lot of the K-dramas that they produce are inspired from webtoons.
Oh yeah.
Of them, like the first one I ever watched with my wife was What's Wrong with Secretary Kim, and I'm pretty sure that's based off of a webtoon too. And one of the other things that we had seen, though, is that when we talk about them traditionally being printed in black and white, I think that that's more for when it's published on paperback. But digitally, I think it's always been in color.
Oh, really?
I think that's like what they were trying to get across, and I think we both have seen that, right? Mm-hmm. Like all the webtoons I've ever read have all been digitally in color. And then, you know, one of the other main differences is that while in manga we read traditionally right to left, in manhwa it's usually left to right, and it's very vertical,
mm-hmm.
and less horizontal like manga. And so it's easier to consume and scroll. It's a little bit for Americans a little bit more organic and fluid reading this content than manga, just because it's a very different way of reading when you're reading manga. And
yeah,
you know,
actually I would agree. Yeah, they make it like and I think the places that I know of to find and read manhwa, definitely the webtoons app or website is definitely a place to find manga. Also Tapas, I think, mm-hmm. is a place where people can find manhwa. But
that's only in America, or if that's also worldwide.
Oh, I don't know.
That Tapas has the rights to
tons,
a lot of stuff.
Tons.
But I'm not sure if it's global or if it's just America.
Webtoons must be global.
Webtoons is definitely global. Yeah, I'm just not sure about Tapas. So that they kind of came out of nowhere in the like 2010s,
really?
Right? Like I'm just looking it up. Yeah, they came onto the scene in 2012. That's when they launched.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even know of them. I think at least until like I started watching like 2022 mm-hmm. last year. Like I just saw them on the scene at Anime NYC when I went the first time, and I was like, okay, just noted Tapas.
It's interesting. They have an interesting story too. Like their founder was like somebody I believe who worked, you know, for Google. I think he sold his company to Google, and he got, you know, a lot of investment from like the CTO of Facebook at one point, I believe. And like the company formed in 2012, I feel like they didn't really get onto the scene until 2017. I'm looking it up right now, and it looks like they launched the mobile app for Tapas Media in 2016.
Oh.
So yeah, it's pretty recent.
Very interesting. Well, I suppose, I mean, at least I guess I could speak for at least Americans. I know that the Tapas app works here. So that's another place that you can find manhwa and so forth. But going back to my, you know, my original point, they make it, at least on the Webtoons app, so seamless, where it almost feels like each page kind of bleeds into the next. So to your point, it is very fluid, very user-friendly, and just like scrolling and almost feeling like it's truly one continuous like scroll that's just laid out on the floor like across the entire room.
For sure. this has to be of the more hyped franchises of an anime coming out in quite some time. Obviously, yeah. Built on the back of the fan base who actually really love Solo Leveling. But I'm trying to think of a completely new story that has as much hype behind it. I'm trying to think of it. Like, in the last two years, what would it be?
The other one that I can think of is Kaiju Number 8. But, like, just because it hasn't come out yet, yes. But I've been seeing, like, for example, at Anime NYC, it was, like, Solo Leveling and Kaiju Number 8, like, build together everywhere. Mm. Like, that was, like, talk of the town. We're all looking forward to that. But otherwise, right. Like, maybe Chainsaw Man?
I was just going to say, maybe Chainsaw Man. That makes the most sense.
Yeah.
That definitely makes sense.
Because definitely I would say Solo Leveling, if I were to like give it a demographic, it does feel like a shonen anime. Like we are, right. You know, we have both, the first two episodes are out and it's very clear to see, you know, we're starting with a character. I'm blanking on his full name. Sung Jin Woo? Yeah. I think.
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on it.
I know. Because I know it's like three different characters. Sung Jin Woo.
I don't remember this. Jin Woo is mostly what he's referred to as.
Jin Woo's son. Anyway,
Sung Jin Woo.
Okay. So anyway.
Embarrassing.
Our main character, Sung Jin Woo, definitely starts out like very clear to know that he is so ain't shit. It's not even funny.
That's definitely,
as most shonen do.
Yeah, I was just about to say that's that like true shonen trope at heart, where like if you don't start out as the most, you know, ain't shit useless character, it's, you know. It doesn't really feel right. I don't know. But yeah, you're 100% correct. This guy is pathetic.
So ancient. Yeah. But yeah, highly anticipated. We can talk about the episodes. Yeah. I think it had a really strong first episode for me.
Mm-hmm.
I even feel like, and you can remind me, because you're a little bit better at remembering things, but I feel like they gave a lot more context to the whole world in the first episode than they did in the first couple chapters. Like, for example, I don't remember them talking about who exactly the best greatest hunter was. I mean, maybe I just forgot about that, but they mentioned who the greatest hunter is and so forth. But anyway, sorry, I'll give a little more context. We're in a world where there are like different gates and they just kind of started appearing within the last couple of years and people are, oh, sorry. And people have like different powers that have also come about with the showing of these gates.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the actual thing was that started them. It's just like, they just started popping up and appearing,
right?
Yeah,
they just started popping up and appearing. And people who go ahead.
No, please.
No, I was just saying people had this magical affinity. Traditional weaponry was useless against the creatures that were emerging from these portals. And certain people were able to come forward out of nowhere with these otherworldly magical powers. And they basically set the standard that, you know, whatever magical capacity you had at the moment those powers became available and whatever you're born with is what you're set with. It doesn't, no matter how much you train or what have you, it doesn't typically increase very much, is typically what they, the way that they've positioned it at the start of the show.
Yeah. And they're given a grade based on like how, I guess, elite their powers are. So like a ascending down or descending down to like S. levels such as like D and E, and S is the top or S is the bottom?
S is the, like the top upper echelon.
Oh, I see. Oh, like real tier systems. I keep seeing those pop up this year. What is with that? The ranking of anime characters and waifus and so forth. Anyway, so our guy Sung Jin Woo is an E rank. I think the actual lowest.
Bottom of the barrel.
No one, just not, ain't shit, nothing, no good kid with just so much heart, who is so poor that he needs to send his small little self into, you know, dungeons he has absolutely no business going into, to make pennies to support his family. So you can't help but fall in love with a character like this. You can't help but root for him. You right. understand his circumstances, and he's got a sick mother and a sister going to school, so he's trying to provide for the family as best he can so that they don't have to worry about anything.
And he's got the messy hair, you know, the like early 2000s Bieber, but the Korean flow version of that. Yeah. And he's just disheveled and clearly not making money. And they nailed the feel bad for this guy.
Yeah, they nailed the feel bad for this guy. Yeah, and it's like, and even, you know, the other folks that he's with, they're of higher ranks than him, but it's very, like, verbatim, they go, yeah, that guy, he's known as the worst hunter of all time. It's cute because the people saying this are not actually talking down on him. They're talking to the side, and then they go, okay, but let's stop talking about it because I don't want him to hear it. I'm like, oh no. And then he's like, I did hear, but it's okay. I need to do this. And you're just like, this is my guy right now. This is my guy.
The other element of that is they basically say, they're like, wow, like, shouldn't we be worried? And they're like, no. If he's here, then this is going to be smooth sailing, right? Like, if they called him, it should be fine. We'll be fine.
Yes.
Right.
And even in the first episode, we very quickly find out that it's really not going to be fine, which is delightful and everything you could want out of an opening episode. Like, it leaves on, like, I feel like this is going to be full of spoilers. It's one episode, y'all. It leaves off where, like, there's these giant monsters, our heroes are in peril, and we don't know what's going to happen, but, like, all we can hope is that your boy's going to come through.
And there's, as of recording this, there are two episodes, and I was actually going to challenge, but before we talk about the second episode and kind of the rest of this, the one thing that we should probably say is, you know, obviously we're acknowledging that there is some shonen trope consistency here at work, but the thing that makes Solo Leveling's potential so great is just that the story is phenomenal. Obviously this is a story where, you know, something happens and he becomes the main character, and obviously these circumstances that we're describing don't stick around forever, and we will do our best not to spoil how, because that's part of the best part of the show. But one of the things that stands out about the manhwa, the original source material of the show, is, you know, we were talking about how manhwa is typically digitally produced in color, and the colors and the illustrations and the level of details of the characters, and most importantly, the foes, stands out to me a lot in Solo Leveling. It's far more detailed than I think a traditional show or illustration. And I don't quite know why. There's definitely a different art style than traditional manga that they follow. It's a little more flowy. It's definitely more colorful. Mm-hmm. That stands out. But it's just the action in this show is incredible. The main character is written in a really exciting way. I don't know that I would say he has, like, that this is a show that's predicated on the quality of dialogue necessarily, but it does. It does have some really good conversations that ground it. But yeah, it's just a really fun ride, and I'm really looking forward to it. A question for you, though.
Oh, no.
You watched episode 2 already, correct?
I did.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been kind of reading around Reddit just to see if I was the only one who felt this way, but I'm very curious why they didn't just launch both of those episodes together at the same time as, like, the first thing. Because, it could have been. Don't get me wrong. This isn't a complaint, because I still think it's really good. And to your point, I think it had a really awesome first episode. But just interesting. Like, it could have easily have been, like, one episode and I don't know, really knocked it out of the park.
Like a true full, like completing the story into what the story's going to be. Because I feel like, to your point, the first two episodes, with no spoilers, they feel like what would be the first episode of something. Like we're ending on a note by the second episode going, oh, this is what the story's about. Like this is what we're going to do. So your question is, why do I think that they would have broken that into two episodes and put them out 1 week at a time?
Oh.
Or no?
I mean, yes, it could be that, or it could just be like, do you think they should have merged them together into one episode?
I don't think so. I really don't, because even in, you know, like they probably could have rushed. I think they could have done it in a way where it wouldn't feel rushed, but knowing the stakes, but I'm trying to say like how they build, like knowing the progression of what that like first scene is that is now spread over two episodes. I think the timing of that actually was very good. If it built too fast, I don't think the stakes would have necessarily been there. I think there still would have been high stakes, but like,
I like that.
The stakes are, I mean, it's like, it's really, and they have some elements in there that are gory, which I don't think is a spoiler, but like there, I feel like also if you haven't watched it, like now you know that there, be warned, there's a little bit of gore in there.
Definitely.
But I think that's it. Like, you know, when we're seeing like what we're dealing with, I'm speaking very, very generally, so I don't spoil anything for those who haven't watched it. But when you see what we're dealing with, you know, and I actually was posing this to the Discord, in like when I read that, it was spooky. Like I was viscerally having reactions, and so I was like,
yeah.
I was posing to them like, how did you feel when you watched this? Did you feel spooked? And I certainly was like, oh, like it, I had the same reaction in watching it. So I think that it would have rushed it to try to, unless it was like a series premiere that was 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's more of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that, and I didn't consider that. I think that the even in a 45-minute, two-episode special, that break brought in a level of anticipation and really kind of brought something into it that if it had just been one sequential episode, maybe would have been lost. And so I really agree with you there. It's funny because I think that's been the two biggest question marks for Solo Leveling. And I think you've nailed both of them. One of which is, does it make you feel the level of excitement and fear in that moment when you see, and this image has been all over the internet, that grin
of the
God character in the episode. Yeah. That's not really a spoiler because there's no context there, but are they going to nail the detail of the animation, and does it make you feel the same feelings, the excitement and the fear? And I feel like they're doing a really great job of both of them so far.
I would agree. And even like there, you know, there's an element to, again, without saying spoilers, there's something that happens to our main character that I knew was coming in the second episode.
Right.
And, you know, I knew it happened and I was just like, how are they going to reveal this right now? Like, how are they going to reveal this? And then when they did, like the animation of the animation of the other characters, the faces, the expressions that are being conveyed on the whole cast, I think really, really fill in that first like arc, I'll say, of over the first two episodes.
I think you're absolutely right. And that is another observation I've made about manhwa in general, is that the ensemble really tends to get the level of detail you'd want it to have, even in moments where like their facial, you know, the emotions and the reactions that they have, you know, and sometimes kind of get blurred out in manga because it's not the important part. And they'll use a lot of like shading and other things to emphasize certain points. Whereas in manhwa, since it's color, there's not as much of that. And so I think characters tend to be a lot more expressive. I think And you know, I mean, even I love Naruto, but there are so many moments in Naruto where, like, you could tell that the animators were like, these characters' faces are blobs and they don't matter. And
yeah.
And, you know, and here you're right. Like, every single character, I feel like, really has that attention being given to it to fully express it.
I have actually a question for you now, because this is branching off for me another question. So we recently had the Apothecary Diaries episode, and one of the things I touched on in the animation is how, you know, in certain moments, whether it be for comedic timing or usually actually used for comedic timing, they'll make the faces of the characters, or like maybe all the characters will look normal, like quote normal, how they normally are drawn. And then one of the characters will have like a chibi face, or like the Anya, they do it in Spy Family all the time. You know what I mean? Where they kind of break down and they make it so simple that it's like really just conveying that emotion or that feeling. You've watched way more manhwa than me. Did they do that in other manhwa that you have seen? Like, do they do elements of that, either for like comedy
chibi-ing.
Like totally breaking the art style just to like really convey something for either shock or comedic timing, whatever?
That's a really good question. I don't think so. I don't think that it's used as a tool as much as it is in anime and manga, at least not from my observation. I think there are, you know, there's a even in a fantasy world, I think there's a little bit more realism in a lot of the world building that I've read. And in terms of like comedic timing, I think that they'll use props more, or, you know, maybe they'll change their costume or something, or maybe they'll place them in a setting that is comedic. Like when you put two really strong characters in a McDonald's or something. And so I think, but again, I think that they find a way to do that in a more realistic way than, you know, a grown man turning into a chibi with bunny ears, which is totally possible in a world created by a mangaka, and especially like with shows like Gintama and so forth. But not even just shows like Gintama, a lot of shows will, especially at the end of the episode, right? Mm-hmm. You'll have these like little moments after the credits where you get these like cute little montages of characters interacting with each other in a very fantastical way. But yeah, that's a good question. And it's a good call out. I haven't ever really thought about that.
Yeah. Because again, I haven't watched enough manhwa to anime adaptations. I know Tower of God is like high on the list because I know I would love it. That being said, I can't remember it happening necessarily in God of High School. I mean, that was so long ago, and then obviously, you know, these two episodes do not call for any such nonsense, if you will. But I would be interested to keep digging into some of the things that really make manhwa special, or manhwa to anime special, and things like that. Because also, I was looking up who actually did Solo Leveling, just because I was curious, like A1 Pictures, like what else has A1 Pictures done? But it's produced by Aniplex, Crunchyroll, like it's produced by so many other things. So I'm like, I would love to see what else A1 Pictures has done.
A1 Pictures has done like Sword Art Online, Licorice Recoil, Darling in the Franxx. Like I think they're going to be a really good pick. They have these pretty, you know, bright colors with really detailed characters. I think they do, as far as like when we think about modern anime, I think they do a really good job in creating really clean, but very, I don't know, like really good use of colors that really pop on the screen. I think they're known for that. In a really good way.
Yeah, well, they're coming off a hot year, apparently. They also do Mashal Magic and
Mushroom. They did Erased.
Oh, interesting. Oh, we all know how I feel about that. So good. Just like everyone else. It was so good. Oh, God. But yeah,
Do we know, actually, I should probably look this up before we talked about this today, but is Solo Leveling only going to be one core, or is it two cores? Do we know?
I
like it should be
it's gonna be only 12 episodes. Yeah,
really? That's so unfortunate.
That's actually really unfortunate. I'm getting really sad that they keep doing that,
because it's probably just too risky for them. They don't know how successful it's going to be, and I don't know. Maybe they'll gauge it in the first half of this core and see what kind of, you know, demand there is for it, and maybe they'll.
That's fair.
They'll continue to learn. I don't know.
This makes me so unfortunate. I wish we would just get like more at once. I hate this. Like, okay, this season it's 12, and then you have to wait a whole season. The next season it'll only be 12. I'm like, come on, like whatever happened to what happened to the good old days? And I didn't even watch it in the good old days. I feel like I had the good old days for like 1 year, and then it was like, nope, we're not doing that anymore. That is sad. I love it. It's so good. It's so good. Stop questioning it. Everyone's gonna love it.
Yeah, I wonder too. It's a good point. I mean, you know, back in the day, there were a lot more big franchise shows that were serialized that just aired every week for years.
Yeah, and I can understand
Naruto.
Like, I could understand not committing to something like that, where it's like it has to come out every week, because then like we run into things where maybe they're just like animating a filler episode for almost no reason, and like, you know, filler episodes fun, great, awesome, but like, you know, then you get people like me who watch it years later and go, well, I'm skipping that. Like, I'm simply skipping that. You know, so like, I like to avoid that. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I really started to get jaded with Attack on Titan. Like, I'm so jaded. I have not watched any of it. Like, any of, like, the newer stuff that they've put out. Basically anything, I guess, quote, season 5. Like, I have not watched it because I am sad about it. It makes me sad. Why did you do it this way? Like, why did you milk it like this? Nobody's on board. I bet the watch time and only went down for premiering.
Probably.
I bet the watch time for premiere went down.
I agree with you. I think that probably did happen. I haven't seen it either. Not that we are the end all be all of the you know, behavior of the American consumer, but I mean, we are actually really big fans of Attack on Titan. Neither of us watched it, and I've had a couple of people come up to me and say, like, you haven't watched it yet. But you know what, a lot of the people I've talked to who have watched the movie and the final episodes and so forth, they were not watching Attack on Titan as it was coming out for the last few cores consecutively. They were at like part one, season 4 part one, but part two they didn't watch it when it came out. So they kind of just decided, okay, like, I'm going to watch it. And then they watched sequentially to the end, to your point. So I don't know. Maybe it's just easier, like, when you're in the mix of it. But when you take a break, the idea that, like, okay, I'm going to start this and it's going to end is hard. So I agree with you. I bet you it did affect the number of people who actually finished it.
I wonder if that does affect things in general. Like, I don't know. Like, is Chainsaw Man going to have, like, all the hype behind it when it comes back for its next core? I mean,
probably not.
So I feel like this is almost a detriment to, like, oh, we have to get these things out. We have to get these things out. But then, like, you lose people.
I think the only way Chainsaw Man, completely anecdotally here, but continues to have similar demand is if they actually put it on Netflix. Because a lot of the people who were watching Chainsaw Man really didn't watch a lot of anime, and they were interested. They heard about the show, and I'm not saying the largest percentage of viewers of Chainsaw Man were non-anime watchers. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that one of the things that gave Chainsaw Man an edge in terms of the number of people who watched it was that there really was a percentage of the audience who normally didn't watch anime, but they keep hearing about this Chainsaw Man thing, and it's an easy enough concept to grasp that seems interesting and maybe a little violent and kind of exciting. So they're willing to give it a chance, was my observation. And I think if you do it on Crunchyroll, the chance of converting a non-traditional anime watcher back to Crunchyroll just for the season 2, like, are they even going to see the advertisements for it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be as successful. Whereas the flip side, I think a lot of people who have Crunchyroll accounts probably also have Netflix accounts too. And so maybe you can still recapture a large audience there and then get other people on Netflix to watch season 1 and 2 would be my suggestion. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
I really need Crunchyroll to come out with a downloadable feature, like where you can download. I really need that because I go to Netflix so hard for rant. Like, I watched all, like, almost all of Zom 100 on Netflix.
Because you can
download
it. Because
I can download it and watch it on the train when I'm underground. Yeah. Or on an airplane or like anywhere. Just I know I can watch it, actually. Once Crunchyroll does that, like, I don't need Netflix ever again. Like, if, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, you know, Prime is doing something which makes a lot of sense to me. So I don't know if you've noticed that, but Amazon Prime is offering Crunchyroll through it.
Really? They partnered?
Yeah. Like, you can pay for your subscription of Crunchyroll through Amazon Prime.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that just makes so much sense.
So is it the same, just so I'm...
It's like, yeah, yeah.
So you pay your Amazon Prime subscription and then through that you get Crunchyroll?
Well, you have to still pay the dollar amount that a Crunchyroll subscription costs, mm-hmm. but you pay it through to Amazon.
Interesting. I wonder...
Through your Amazon account.
I wonder why that happened. Maybe just like user-friendly, super easy, throw it in the car and don't think, like...
Two immediate thoughts that come to my mind are, and you may have seen this, but you can rent and buy films that are not on the Amazon Prime roster that are through, I don't know, Peacock or Stars or whatever. They've already started to do this with the other and Max. Like they have a deal there. So yeah. Just makes sense that they're able to consolidate the the platform intellectual properties of all these other streaming services into one viewing experience, which is Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
For the other streaming platforms, it's a no-brainer because they don't have to spend money trying to compete with Amazon and try to bring those customers into their platform.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's already an Amazon customer, so it's just easier.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. And then, yeah, to your point, it's just like user experience. Like, if I can just pay one place for all of my subscriptions, why not?
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a brilliant move. And quite frankly, I think Netflix should be embarrassed that they didn't think of that sooner.
Yeah. I'm worried.
Because the other thing is that, like, from a technology perspective, like, Amazon's now fronting the load of the traffic, right? Yes, you're watching it on Amazon Prime. It's just it's being, you know, so... Anyways, we don't have to get into that, but it's just something that I've been thinking about. Is like Netflix should have been prepared to do that too, and they just didn't.
Netflix, I feel like they keep like shit in the bed. Like even some of the things that they put out, I'm like, I don't care about the series, but maybe I definitely, again, don't speak for the majority of consumers of Netflix, but I'm like, I'm so the only thing I go to Netflix for is so I can download anime mm-hmm. and maybe watch something that's trending. With right. the world and like what that last 1 week, like I don't know. But all to say, Solo Leveling, wow, if you haven't watched it, I can't recommend it enough. I mean, if anything that we've said sounds like your vibe, you like, you know, if you like watching a hero, potential hero, start from the bottom, now we're here, like this is for you. If you
the one. Yeah, this is the one for the year, probably.
It's true. This is definitely the one for the season, if not the one for the year. That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm not saying it's going to be anime of the year. I'm just saying, like, to your point, if that's your jam, like, this is the one.
We should definitely chit-chat about that next week. We'll add a little thing, because Crunchyroll just put out their voting for the Crunchyroll Awards. And...
We definitely got to break that down
for everybody. But yeah, definitely excited for Solo Leveling.
Watch it. Let us know what you think.
And follow us on everything. And we'll see you next week. And we love you guys so much.
Bye.